traditional Hmong singing is different to our ear, we're taking a cultural journey this hour, exploring the musical traditions from Southeast Asia and how these influences are being infused into pop, rock, rap, and other genres. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Ma Vu is president of Yellow Diamond Records. That's a Hmong-owned independent record label that aims to preserve the Hmong language through music for future generations. She's a Hmong singer-songwriter who lives in Wausau. Ma Vu, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me here.
So what does traditional Hmong music sound like to our ear?
Oh, boy. Traditional Hmong music to me is like, when I think about my parents, it's like that. Traditional instruments like the sisao, which is like a violin, the qeng, which is like a flute-like bamboo instrument. So that's like very traditional. But there's another part where it's more like polka style. If you listen to polka music, it's like that sort of style when it comes to traditional Hmong music.
So how are contemporary artists playing with those things and creating new sounds?
I think they're just following more with the times based on the instrument that's being used, where traditional Hmong music uses more Thai or Chinese sort of like instruments, where now they're going with like electric guitars and acoustic and pianos, just really with the times right now.
Are people accepting that? Do you think that there's an acceptance in a growing audience?
I believe there is. I believe Hmong music is booming more than it was back in the 90s. And right now, there's just a huge demand for it. So many artists that are coming out with Hmong music. And I believe even the older generation is embracing that.
Who is the music geared for? Because is this music for Hmong listeners, or do you want people from different backgrounds to appreciate this craft and grow with it?
Yeah, I believe, music is universal, and anyone who has an appreciation for music should be free to listen to it. And if you look at J-pop or, K-pop with BTS that just came on, mm-hmm. Ellen's show and all that stuff, and with the music awards, it's kind of like that. You want to get to that point.
Let's talk about some styles right now. Some Hmong musicians are creating hip-hop and R&B music, and we have some tracks to sample. Tell us what you brought in.
Well, all the music that we have today are created by the artists in our record label. So we got a lot of, we got Lily Vang, T Vang, Cassie Chang, David Yang, and Def Rhyme, including myself, with music today provided for the show.
So who should we dig into first here? The song is America?
Oh, that one is called Go Hmong America. That means Lady America. You're pretty much embodying the fact that this girl that they are attracted to is from America, and she represents what an America woman is all about.
Let's take a listen.
Don't be too shy, got your back, your lila toku tay. Gu ying chi dado kachi, hayo shi, this ain't no game. I got you, I got you. It's no problem, no problem. Cause I thought I chila tau. Chuyaka luku and you promise to be my own. Go, Hmong America. You had a bad experience, laku ma luka cha. Ku pao te kachin jeng, di ka lucia jeng na na.
Ma Vu, what strikes you about that song?
First off, the singer, the artist, David Yang. Incredible talent, and his style is so different from the sounds that you would hear from traditional Hmong music or even the type of music that I do. So his voice, when I first heard it, couldn't even tell that he was Hmong until I met him and got to know him better, that I realized, wow, this person is incredible.
So why are some Hmong artists creating these hip-hop and R&B sounds?
I believe because the culture that we're in right now, especially growing up in America, we are definitely adapting to what we have around us. And this is what a lot of the youth in our generation is doing.
In that song, we heard a combination of languages, this interesting fusion, and Yellow Diamond Records, your intention is to encourage that, to preserve the Hmong language. How should we think about the words you and fellow Hmong singers use and how to interpret them?
Oh boy, they can be simple at times and other times very complex. And in the Hmong culture, the more complex your words are, the more you're highly respected for that. But with us, pretty much trying to preserve the language. We know that there's a lot of youth that don't really know the language. So the more complex you are, the more they'd be like, huh? What the heck are you saying? So they don't even understand that too. So we're trying to go with more basic words to help them get that sense of getting started with learning it and then eventually moving along to more complex things for them.
There's also a number of paths you could take with storylines. You have the story of persecution. You have the story yes. of immigration. Mm-hmm. How do those weave in?
Oh man, those are, I'm pretty sure, not in our label at this moment. I don't think any of our artists have songs relating to that. But outside of that, there's a lot of songs that talk about our journey, you know, the Hmong people and with the war and everything like that. So, yeah.
Did your parents immigrate here under
yes.
those circumstances?
Yes, they did. I was only 4 months old when my parents, we were crossing the Mekong River during that time.
Where mm-hmm. did they land? Where did they come?
So I was born in the refugee camp, and then we got a sponsor from a church in the United States. We came to California, and then they found us a home in La Crosse. And then I've been in Green Bay ever since growing up until I got married. Now I'm in Wausau.
And you were among hundreds of families who settled
yes.
in that area. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you find a community and a culture there? Did you feel a place, a sense of home?
I would say so, because, you know, I was very young, so I pretty much grew up in America, and everything I know is all about being an American, so.
How did that lead you on a path through being a singer-songwriter, a musical journey?
Yeah, that's the crazy part. It's like I went through show choir and, you know, musicals, done a lot of American type of music and theater shows. But I had this longing to go back to my roots when I realized that a lot of the people my age and even children younger was losing the language. And when I figured that people really liked the music that I did, then I was like, well, let's continue that, you know? And one day I'm going to have children of my own. And that's the part that really hit me. It's like one day my kids are probably going to not know how to speak Hmong at all. So I wanted to continue bridging this for them.
Mavu is our guest. She is president of Yellow Diamond Records. That's a Hmong-owned independent record label that aims to preserve the Hmong language through music for future generations. She is also a singer-songwriter who lives in Wausau. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What is your experience as a person with Hmong heritage? How do you express your culture living in America? And what should Hmong music sound like? Should it remain traditional, or would you like to see artists push boundaries? If you're a musician, how do you gain inspiration from your heritage, from other heritages around you? 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. So Mavu, David Yang in that piece we sampled there was in bringing both Hmong language and English together mm-hmm. with concepts. What were some of the concepts conveyed there?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think the great thing about this song is that, if only David was here, he would be great at telling about his song. So for me, when I first heard it, it just made me think this is the first Hmong song I ever heard that mixed those type of concepts where there's hip hop and there's, you know, that Hmong language in there. Like Hmong language being sung like that could be really cheesy, but he made it sound great.
How do American Hmong artists like yourself, balance that growing up in the U.S. with these very strong influences of a specific Southeast Asian heritage? How do you work with those two influences through music?
I think it depends on the artist. For myself, I think I really just predominantly want to keep the language alive. At least that's the best that I can do for now. But we have other artists who are like Lily Vang, for example. You know, she does pageants and she's all about giving back to the community and using her music as that platform and connecting all communities to join and unite through music. So, yeah, it just really depends on, you know, the artist and what they like to do with it.
We mentioned earlier about K-pop used to describe Korean pop music. It's gained worldwide popularity.
Yes.
Hmong musicians are producing pop music, and let's take a listen to some of this music here. And this is David Yang.
沙爹又叫到了起步，沙爹又有影了音讯。不应他哥哥要求，他全都哥哥摸摸。
What should we notice about this particular song?
I love this song. It's one of his newest release that's going to be part of his new album coming out this year. And he took a different approach where it has like that country vibe to it.
Uh-huh.
The acoustic guitar. It's refreshing for his style.
What is he singing about here?
The song titled is Year After Year, and pretty much saying that year after year, I'm still waiting and I still love you.
And you have a duet with David Yang
went really viral
on social media. The song is See You Again.
Yes. Do Boko Dua.
What is that song about?
That song is about when you didn't break it off with someone yet and you didn't have a clean ending to that chapter. So you go back to revisit it. And what if you do meet them again? How would things end differently to make things better?
We're exploring Hmong musical traditions and how they're being infused in Western culture and genres of music like pop, like R&B. Ma Vu is our guide. She's president of Yellow Diamond Records, which is a Hmong-owned independent record label, and she is a Hmong singer-songwriter based in Wausau. You can join in at 800-642-1234, especially if you're a musician. How do you gather inspiration from your own heritage? How do you incorporate sounds or techniques from other backgrounds? And how do you do that with respect for other cultures? Call in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll pick up the conversation in just a moment on the Ideas Network. We're taking a sound journey this hour, getting to know a Hmong record label here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Singer-songwriter Ma Vu blends contemporary sounds with the Hmong language and its cultural traditions from Southeast Asia. She's president of the Hmong-owned indie record label Yellow Diamond Records. Getting your questions, your insights on this music at 800-642-1234. What do you like about the music Hmong artists are recording? Are you more likely to listen to pop music or hip-hop or ballads? Do you care if you don't understand the language? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Ma Vu, what were we hearing there on the reintroduction?
Oh, you are hearing what we call the sisao, which is a two-string violin that's similar to the Chinese erhu.
And so explain a little bit more about what that instrument can do.
Yeah, so that instrument, like I said, it's a two-string instrument, and the bass is laid on the lap, and the neck is very long that you hold up, and it's played with a bow, and that is an instrument that my dad has always played since I was a child, and that's why I want to incorporate into this song.
Did your dad teach you?
Not at all. I wish
Thanks, Dad.
I think in the culture, people are probably aware that usually it's the sons that get that passed out on. Yeah.
Let's go to Maureen now, joining us from Baraboo. Hi, Maureen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So what I wanted to share was that in end of 79, early 80s, when I was a medical student, I worked in the Kawidang refugee camp on the border of Thailand and Cambodia. And towards the end of my stay there, I visited some of the other camps. And I will tell you that the Hmong camp through this north along the line of them was the richest in showing such pride in the heritage, with people wearing their beautifully woven clothes and outfits. And I have a number of products that I purchased there that I still treasure. And some of the music was playing overhead. I don't have a distinct memory of the music as much as I do of the visual richness of your culture.
Oh, Maureen, thank you so much for calling in. Mavu, she has such a reflection on the artistry that was all around her there in those camps.
Wow, that was beautiful. You know, I wished, see, the thing is, I wished I could have seen what she did, but being a young child at that time, you know, you don't get to see that now, and everything here in the U.S. has been Americanized, that it's still rich, but not like that, you know, back in the day.
How important is tradition to the Hmong community?
I think it's something that really helps us hold our identity. And being a traveling nomad group, you know, from China going down to Lower Asia, like, we really try to find who we are. We're like seeking nomads who want to find who our true purpose, our true culture is. And along the way, these are the things that we've kept, and we treasure that very much.
Are the song lyrics to these songs that you listen to, are they reflective of that journey?
I would say so, yes.
In what ways?
In a way where it's a longing from the homeland, which the Hmong people, we don't have. We don't have a home, a country of our own to call. And so that's been the true sadness of my people. And through songwriting, that's what you sort of hear in there, sadness.
What is unique about the perspective of that? Because especially as musicians everywhere, they grapple with what is home, a place to call home.
Right. Oh, man. Like, for us, well, for myself, you know, that's been the hard part, is that when you don't have a place to call your home, people will look at you and say, well, what are you? Where are you from? Well, I'm from all over the place. And that's the beauty of Hmong people, is that we've been traveling everywhere. We've picked up a lot of things along the way and adapted to different cultures to be who we are today.
Do artists face resistance in any way as you try to add or change tradition?
Oh, plenty. Yeah. We have a lot of, you know, children who would want to do like K-pop, and they will try to change their identity to become like Korean or Japanese or even American, completely tossing away their culture. And it's very unfortunate, but, you know, it is what it is. And depending on where you grow up, if that's the way you want to do it, then it's on you.
How did your record label come about?
Oh, man, 5 years ago. And it's, if people know the true story of how we started, which I'll share, is that it only started with three people. My CEO, a recording artist, T. Vang, the first artist, and then myself. So the three of us, we built the label to be where it is today.
So when you say you built this label, how do you do that? How does a record label get started?
It's not as easy, and it's, you know, so when we started, we had no staff. You know, it was just all manual labor. And at that time, the CEO was very new, you know, fresh out of business. And he had this vision, this goal, and he had an artist that he was working with. Then he came along with me. And how I helped was that I just knew more of the marketing side. And I knew that if you want to be an artist, this is what you need to do. So when you have an artist like that, and the boss who provides the funding and the, you know, the business part of it too, then bringing that together, that's how we are. Where we are now.
But you're also on the business side. You're also a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
You're an artist at the same time. So you have to really balance those two pieces,
the
business hat and the artist hat.
Yeah, that was like the thing that people don't know, is that behind the scenes as an artist, I was doing all of these business stuff, like connecting with sponsors, connecting with, you know, people behind the scenes with venues, and just hooking everything up with the CEO. And people don't see that. And I hope they don't need to see that, because, you know, we want to give them a great show. so they don't have to worry about it.
And your label is headquartered in California?
Yes, Merced, California.
So you have to travel back and forth?
Sometimes. The great thing about our label is that we're all scattered everywhere. The artists, they live in different states. And luckily for Wisconsin, we have three artists here. We have me, David Yang, and Def Rhyme. So with all of us here, you know, we're able to do our work at our own pace, the comfort of our own home.
So you've also toured and been there on stage singing.
Yes.
Your duet with David Yang, See You Again, went viral.
Oh, yes.
How has that changed your perception about an indie label?
I think we're doing great things here. You know, it just goes to show that as long as you have a passion, a dream, and you put in the hard work, you will get there. And that's what we've did.
What is that hard work like? Because you're trying to be on the road, I would assume, mm-hmm. and get those bookings and get in front of audiences, and perhaps in front of audiences that aren't knowledgeable about Hmong music. How do you make that introduction to audiences?
You don't. You just, you know, I did, let's see, I performed at an art gallery where they just said, we just need beautiful music. Right? And so I came in with my own originals and nobody knew what I was singing about, but they loved it because it was beautiful. Yeah.
What do you write about in your songs?
Most of the time, family, love, and pursuing your dreams.
Where do you find that inspiration to write? Where do you go? How do you make those connections in your writing, in your songwriting?
Yeah, most of my songs came from personal experience, and depends on what I'm going through that day or the year. I'll take that into reflection and then turn it into a song.
So as you look at indie labels across the country and around the world, they are going up against huge monopoly labels. Mm-hmm. How do you survive? How do you get out there?
You just keep surviving. At this moment, we don't have the answer, but we're doing what we can. And our goal isn't to, I mean, yeah, we would love to get out there. We would. We would love to have the platform that they have, but we're going to take step by step. And when we get there, we'll get there.
I guess the layer under that is, how do indie labels make money these days? How do they survive? How do they break even?
Right now, you know, with our team and our label, is that majority of our income comes from merchandise sales and from putting on shows.
So what are you selling?
We are selling anything from CDs, t-shirts, caps. Of course, you know, the artists are also free to do bookings on their own, so they make their own income that way. And the label, we're cool with that. We don't take a percentage from that at all.
Talking with Mav Lu this hour of the morning show. She's president of Yellow Diamond Records. That's an indie label focused on preserving Hmong language and advancing musicians who have this background. Gathering your thoughts on the music, what you think of it, 800-642-1234. What should Hmong music sound like? Should it remain traditional, or would you like to see artists push boundaries? Do you have the same taste as your kids or your parents? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Mavu, do you think there was this aha moment for you when you realized that I could make it with Hmong music in America?
I'm scared to say. I'm scared to say if I did. But there is hope. Yes, I do have hope that our music will be out there one day.
So are there assumptions that you have to work through with what people think about your music and even other record labels think about what you do? Do you have to do some explaining?
At the moment, not really. I don't think we've made quite an impact like that to get noticed, but we're doing the best that we can in our community, and I think it's the community that's taking notice, and they're the ones making it possible for us, and heck, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, how has the community stepped up for you?
Oh, wow. I think it's great that through music, the community comes and unites even closer because of that. And every time we throw a show, we just know that the Hmong people will show up and they will come support.
So in that area, you growing up, Green Bay, Wausau area, do people recognize you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I have too many stories.
And what do they say about your music? How do they support you?
Oh, I just love my supporters, my listeners. Every time I meet one, they always say how much my music has changed their life. Like my song Nyawake, which is Stay Together, especially if it's a married couple, they would always tell me, I was at that point of, divorcing or breaking up, but I stuck together with my husband because of your song, or vice versa. And they're, a lot of kids these days, they have huge hopes, huge dreams, big dreams. And when they see someone like me doing what I do, they're so inspired and they meet me and they'll be like, I want to be just like you. Yeah.
Let's go to Mai Zhang joining us from Madison. Hi, Mai Zhang.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi, Ma.
Good morning, Mai Zhang.
How are you?
Nia Zhongtie, how are you?
Good. So I just, I want to chime in and say, you probably don't know this, but I am a folk singer.
Oh.
So I sing traditional songs.
Yes.
And so I just want to share that even though pop music is very popular, a lot of the young people are also wanting to learn folk songs. So I am teaching, some young people. And I don't know if you know, but like early Hmong pop singers like Lee Ball and the very seasoned Hmong pop music.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Do a lot of borrowing from traditional songs where their pop songs has a lot of rhymes, just like, traditional Hmong singing. So
yes.
I just want to, throw that in. And
Mai Zhang, how has it been going for you in teaching folk singing? Are your students catching on?
They are. In fact, so I coordinate and direct a Hmong language and culture program in Madison during the summer for 6 weeks. And in fact, last year we just got support from Wisconsin Arts Board to do a Hmong artist residence.
Incredible.
And teach, traditional Hmong music to our students. So the popularity is coming back where the more we expose children to Hmong folk singing, the more they learn about it, the more interested they are. So, in fact, we are applying for another grant to do the same thing. And so I think it's gaining momentum.
Mai Zhang, there's also some influence of chanting in traditional Hmong music. Is that incorporated into folk singing, or is that something different?
It is. So folk singing, we have quite a bit of different styles and all that, but it's poetry singing pretty much. So if you can make poetry in your singing and sing it in the different style depending on where you live, that's basically folk singing. You probably heard the term yodeling. Some people consider folk singing in the line of yodeling.
Is there also costume and dance that goes along with these traditional folk songs?
Folk singing is a multi-purpose tool, so a lot of it is used as therapy and counseling. So you do that if you're in the field harvesting, doing your work in the field, you don't need the traditional costume. But if you're in a wedding or at a new year, then yes, you will wear your traditional costume.
Oh, so for like times of pageantry, times when special occasions, that's where those influences come into the music.
Right. And the like I said, the music is multi-purpose. So you sing it wherever the occasion is. It could be social, it could be educational, it could be entertaining, it could be therapeutic.
And are there certain themes in those songs that are brought up again? And what are those themes?
Well, if you're doing therapeutic, then a lot of the theme is, separation of siblings, separation of loved ones, separation of, so it has a lot to do with loneliness and longing to be home. So it was like if we talk about our parents, a lot of it would have to do with the journey to America, for example, where they lose a lot of their siblings due to separation. So if you're singing about education, so like when I go and sing about education, then the theme is about the value of education and how important education is. Or if it's a wedding, then it's talking about, you know, beginning a new life together and how to do it well and so forth. So it depends on what occasion you're at.
Mai Zhang, while we have you on the line, just another question here. How did the experiences of being a refugee, the Vietnam War, coming to a new land, how have those experiences made their way into songs?
Oh, my God. Folk singing is like walking and singing. So I always compare it to the movie, The Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you say, everything you do is just through music. So it's just an expression about singing. And as I think at, you know, folklore festivals and things like that, and I always share is the beauty of folk singing is unlike a song where it's prescribed, every word is written for you. For folk singing, as long as you have your poetry rhyme, you have the ability to improvise in between, and that is the beauty of it. So you could be as creative as you want, and you could do any kind of expression anytime, anywhere.
Mavu, your thoughts on what Mai Zhang is saying here?
Yes, I agree with everything Mai Zhang is saying about guzia, which is a traditional folk singing or chanting. It's a poetic, and I feel like guzia is all about strategy. So it's all about coming up with the best rhymes, at least from what I've seen. And my mom is a guzia singer, and she's always telling me, you have to strategize. And they have these traditional folk singing competitions where topics are created on the spot and you have to create your rhymes right there.
Oh,
so it's
like
incredible.
A poetry slam almost.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Is that, do you think, Mai Zhang, a way to really influence and bring perhaps more, you know, some modern creativity into these very ancient traditions?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen people try to throw in the mix of the contemporary music with it as well, but, you know, I'm still old school, so I prefer to see, you know, my own voice only and no music to it. But, yeah, there's been a different people trying different things to it, but I think, as I said earlier, the more our children know about it, the more they will see the beauty to it, and they will have the interest and want to learn it because, as Ma said, it's all about your own talent and your own strategy and how to be the best in that situation. So I am inspired when I watch Hmong folk singing done in stories of people who are not physically attractive, but if they sing to each other for a day at the new year, they become so attractive that they marry each other at the end of the day. That's how powerful it is.
Well, Mai Zhang, thank you so much for contributing this and also to telling us what's happening in Madison around Hmong culture. Well, we're on a tour through music that's created by Hmong artists on this Hour of the Morning show. Ma Vu is our guide. She's president of Yellow Diamond Records. That's an indie label focused on preserving Hmong language and advancing musicians who have this background. Gathering your thoughts on what you're hearing, what moves you at 800-642-1234. What should Hmong music sound like? Should it remain traditional? Or would you like to see artists push boundaries? Do you have the same tastes as your kids? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get right back to the conversation in just a moment on the Ideas Network. You take a long cut, hey. a sound journey here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. How Hmong recording artists are gaining popularity as they blend modern musical influences with Hmong heritage. The artists call on generations of musical influences of Southeast Asia that inform this music. Wausau-based singer-songwriter Ma Vu is our guide this hour. She is president of the Hmong-owned indie record label Yellow Diamond Records. And we're gathering your thoughts on what you hear and how musical traditions inspire you at 800-642-1234. If you're a musician, how do you gather inspiration from your own heritage and through other cultures? Do you incorporate sounds or techniques from other backgrounds? How does that go? And how do you do that with respect for other cultures? 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Ma Vu, what were we listening to there?
We were listening to my original song called Nyaoke, which means stay together.
Let's listen to a little bit more of that, and let's hear some of the influences of that song.
Yêu thế cũng không có hay, tiếc buồn muộn hiên hú, bao nhiêu vui khi
Can you translate for us? What's going on there?
Yeah, so that first verse was asking, you know, the girl is asking, you know, is there ever going to be a day for us that we will stay in one house together and be a couple? So in the Hmong culture, you know, we have this longing to be married. And once you are married, you go to the groom's house and you live with their family. So she's asking, when is that day going to come for us?
So the day where you can become a couple, independent.
Oh, a married couple.
Couple. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And perhaps also struggling with those traditions of you going to the groom's house.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of emotions there during those times, especially during the wedding. But yeah, this song is all about how they're not able to get there though. So do they push on or do they just let each other go? But this song is to say, keep fighting the good fight and continue to love each other for, you know, who you guys are.
Why did you write that as a ballad?
That song originally was an acoustic version, but we changed it into a ballad because I wanted people to play this at their weddings. So that way they could get that sense where they made it in the chorus. If we do listen to it or not, the chorus says, our love has come this far. And I think couples, they love that. They know the struggle of trying to stay together. And coming this far, it's a great way to celebrate.
Let's bring in Matt now, joining us from Viroqua. Hi, Matt. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to call in. I'm a traditional musician as well. I play Irish music and American old-time music. And I just wanted to make a pitch for preserving the older forms, and not trying to make everything sound like American pop music, because like what I would really crave in listening to Hmong music or traditional music from any culture is really hearing what the roots of it are, and really hearing the traditional instrumentation and the traditional rhythms and all that kind of thing. I know it just happens in so many world music genres that things just kind of get homogenized and we lose that beautiful remote quality that has evolved over, you know, centuries in these different diasporas. So I just want to make that pitch to don't throw out what's beautiful about the ancient music. Yeah, hearing the language is really beautiful, and hearing the different melodies. But the accompaniment can also preserve traditional forms, in my mind. you know.
Yeah, Matt, thank you for bringing that up. Mavu, what do you make of that?
I agree with that, especially in my song Zilusi Sao, which is Father's Violin, definitely incorporating the roots there with the traditional Hmong instrument, the violin. Yeah,
and I think we heard a bit of that coming into our first introduction to you. Can we hear a little bit more of that? Oh, maybe not. We're trying to get that back here. But I do want to hear more of that instrument because this is a two-stringed instrument. Is that right?
That's correct.
With a very, don't you play it standing up or sitting?
Sitting down.
Sitting down. Mm-hmm. And this is an instrument normally played by men. Is that right?
Yes.
Let's take a listen. With that instrument, it is played on its own in the Hmong culture, but you're adding more elements.
Yes, to try to create this story around that instrument.
What does that story say?
That story is about using this instrument to embody who your loved ones are. So this instrument is embodying who my father is, and this instrument reminds me of him. So this way, you know, our caller, Matt, was talking about keeping those elements, and I agree with him. When we try to move forward and make all these changes, in the end, your heart longs to go back to your roots and go back to, like they say, the original way. Yes.
Neil from Slinger called in to say he says he'd like to hear more Hmong music in everyday life, radio breaks or television. He said, I don't know what the words mean, but it's beautiful, and I just crave more of it.
So, oh, that's great.
Yeah, there is an appetite to, you must also feel that as a record label owner. Are you getting some of that feedback?
Oh, definitely. You know, I feel like we're on a great path here to showcasing Hmong music. And it's all right if they don't understand. You know, there can always be a way to learn. But really, getting that appreciation first is what we want to go for.
How is your life different today than when you first signed as a singer-songwriter in 2013?
I think I'm more passionate ever than before. Before, it was kind of like you didn't know if you were going to make it, and you don't know if this was a waste of time. But eventually, as I signed on and I worked with so many people, I got to know that there's other people out there who have big dreams like I do, has these big hopes. And I think together, as long as we work together, then we can get there.
What about Hmong people? Do they have preconceived notions about your music?
I'm not sure. I think if anything, they enjoy and they embrace what we're bringing to, you know, the table. They feel like, yes, with the times, this is a new way, a new sound that the, you know, younger generation would enjoy. So they understand and accept that.
So you have talked about one day you having another generation. Kids, is the upcoming generation of Hmong Americans really poised to have different opportunities in music than you have?
I believe so. I believe that what we're doing now is showing them that this path is possible. Being an artist is possible. And, you know, not just being Hmong, but for any type of culture out there, you know, we know that being an artist can be a struggling path. But by doing what we do, we can tell them and show them that this path can be possible because we've laid it out for them.
Are there indie labels out there that are doing some of these similar things, taking traditional sounds, traditional instruments, and bringing them into modern music?
Yes, there is now. Yeah, back, I think it's been, it's been a few years since we've had any new emerging Hmong music labels, but now they're coming out. But no, so far Yellow Diamond Records is the premier label that has this many artists signed and doing continuous events like this yearly.
Are you always looking, of course, for new artists? Do you anticipate signing any new artists in the future?
In a few years, we're looking to signing more people. But, you know, right now, we're really looking for people who come with that full package. Because now it's not just about knowing how to sing or having a talent. It's also about knowing the business side of it and how capable are you on your own. Because if you are capable, you don't really need us.
Yeah, so what does that business side look like then as you go forward?
Yeah, that business side comes a lot with, of course, you know, knowing how to be a professional, you know, having that public image that you know how to cultivate and control. And just that part along with, you know, the business money, the financial side, knowing how to manage yourself and market yourself. So those are the business side of things.
Is it harder to communicate feelings, to communicate themes and emotions in music when you know there's a language barrier, you know that people aren't getting the words that they're listening to? How do you approach that as a musician, as a singer-songwriter?
Yeah, for myself, yes, I've encountered that before where people wanted subtitles for my songs on YouTube. And I've done the best that I could now and then to make sure that I do have subtitles, English subtitles. But there are, you know, times where you don't have that. And the best you can do is hope that they get the emotions through the music. And you can write a little description about what it's about. And I always feel like music is up to that person to interpret what it means to them.
Do you think YouTube has changed your course in any way?
Definitely. Oh, wow. I mean, that's how my music career started, for sure. But now with the new changes with YouTube, I'm not so happy about it, but...
Yeah. So as we start to wrap up here, part of your work is to mentor young Hmong artists. What do you tell them as they prepare to set foot as a musician?
I tell them they need to work hard because we aren't like a mainstream, you know, record label. So being in this indie label, you know, it's all about working hard, being consistent, and just remember why you're doing it.
Well, Mavu, thank you so much for coming in. What a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Mavu is president of Yellow Diamond Records. That's based in California. It's a Hmong-owned independent record label. She is a Hmong singer-songwriter who lives in Wausau. This hour of the morning show was produced by Keely Boltina. Michael Deringer provided technical direction. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the sounds of the Ideas Network.